The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
How do you manage when the other half is profligate with money, is terrible with money, cannot handle the finances? We're going to be speaking about it from a financial point of view in about 40 minutes time. We're going to have sage advice, financial advice, how to plan financially with the other half, dealing with joint accounts and what have you. 087 1400 106 if you've got questions for our financial expert. But finances are only part of the picture here, because Francis Kelleher is with me, the dating and relationship expert, to talk to us about how to navigate this from the couple's point of view, from a relationship point of view. Francis, you're welcome to the show. How do you bring it up if you've got concerns about how your other half is spending money?
Thank you so much, Kieran, for having me. Yes, how do you broach the subject? So my advice is stay calm anyway. I mean, I know couples who have seen a credit card bill come in and that's the first they've known of it. Or they've had their partner go and get a loan and, you know, they've blown through half it already in a few weeks. So it can be very, very traumatic for somebody who's, you know, worrying up at night, worrying, how are we going to pay the bills? And this person keeps spending, the other partner. So I would have your evidence with you, because sometimes people say, well, I'm not spending that much. And they mightn't even realize it themselves that they're burning through money. So say, you know, I have this credit card bill. It's here. We've spent so much. And I would say you're a team. Don't go on the attack. Say, you know, this is the situation we're in and this is going to affect all of us. And have your evidence with you saying, this is what you spent. How are we going to navigate this as a team? Because if you go and you attack a person and you get their back up and it's them against you, you're not going to win. Negotiation is all about empathy, empathizing from where the other person is.
What about the idea of nipping this in the bud, you know, before the problem even rears its head, by having a financial plan in place? It's kind of, that's maybe easy to say after the fact. You know, we don't get to a point, I guess, in a relationship, do we, where we say, right, we're now serious.
Yes, and that is a fantastic point you've made. Before this happens, that is the secret, really, Kieran. Like, if I say, if you're dating somebody, you're planning a future together, I'm not talking about on the second date, I'm talking about you're committed, you know, you want to build a future together, you're going, you know, into the future forwardly together, then you should sit down and have that conversation. Well, you know, we're doing this together romantically. What are we doing about it financially? Are we aiming to buy a house, you know, in a year? You can say, I want to have a house in a year. Where are you on that, spectrum? And find out what the other person's goals are. And then you can plan together. It's always better prevention than cure. So I would say that.
What about outsourcing the solution, Francis, and kind of suggesting that you see a financial expert or something and get the financial expert to do all the dirty work?
Fantastic idea. Everybody needs support in arenas of life that sometimes we have struggles in that we can't navigate on our own. I'm all for getting help. Brilliant. These people are experts. They can give you a blueprint to follow and they know the gaps and they can fill them in quickly. So 100%. I mean, I have had couples in marriage coaching with me and they have gone to MABS. There are many out there, but MABS is a one that people might know. And it has just completely de-stressed them within a day of going to talk to those financial experts. Because once you take action, even Conor McGregor said that, doubt only sets in when I'm not working. And it's the same with all of us. If we're moving forward and we feel we're taking control and we're taking action, that's the secret to take control, then the stress, you know, goes down. So, and we all know, really, relationships would be fine without stress. It's the mortgage and the two children and the financial, you know, stress that causes people to argue, that creates conflict. So that's what's important, that you're doing it together and you get, you know, the help.
What about people who are just too anal about this and they get uptight by any little bit of profligate spending? I mean, there's a degree to which you can turn the blind eye, isn't there? You know, you mentioned taking the loan from the credit union and blowing it all very quickly. Obviously, that's a huge thing. But if the other half is just spending a few bob here and there in a way that you disagree with, but it's not really harming the overall finances, there's an argument to just let it go, isn't it?
There is. And again, it's all about communication, Kieran. You have to sit down and go, look, you have your boundaries with things in life and money, and I have mine. And we have a different mindset. Most people have a different mindset about money. I've rarely seen couples that are completely on point with the same thinking about money. So you have to sit down and say, look, you know, how about we just have a certain amount of spending money each per week? I know a couple that have a joint bank account. Mm-hmm. They pay all their household bills out of it. They have two separate bank accounts themselves, but they go to the other person if the purchase is over €200. They say, listen, darling, I want to buy this. It's over the limit that we said we'd come and discuss it. If it's over the amount, 200 was the agreed amount. I'm coming now. I really want this, or I really want the weekend away, or whatever it may be. How are you feeling about this? It's you know, you have to give the full disclosure, be honest and talk about it. So that could work for some people. You know, people are different. Different things work for different people. But that was their arrangement and it worked. She spent what she wanted to if it was below the 200 and same with him. And then they came together. So you have to talk it out. What are the other person's expectations? There's a word that, you know, it fixes a lot of things. If you know what the other person's expectations are of you, and them of and you of them, there's going to be way less conflict.
Well, Frances, my expectations of you are always high and you always deliver. So listen, thanks a million for joining us. Frances Kelleher, the dating and relationship expert. We're going to have some financial advice later with Paul Merriman, 087 1400 106. Get your question in right now. We'll get the news headline. Now, though, for the moment, because Paul Merriman is in studio, the CEO of Fairstone and the founder of Ask Paul. A little bit earlier in the show, we were talking about these comments made by Prue Leith, she of British Bake Off fame. She talked about her partner being profligate with the finances and terrible with money. And we spoke to Frances Kelleher from a relationships point of view. How do you bring this up? How do you broach the topic? How do you manage it? And all of that. I mean, there's so many questions coming in, as we knew would happen on the financial front, that we thought it was a good idea to have Paul in here to talk about the financial side of all of this, managing money in a partnership. So, Paul, you're welcome to studio.
Thank you very much, Kieran.
And thanks a million. So this can be kind of a tricky territory for some people, can't
it? Yeah, tricky and contentious in some ways. Like anything, it's about how you approach the subject. I think openness, honesty, but everyone just needs a plan. I know that many times I've been in studio talking about financial planning, but in particular for couples, they need a plan. And I think working with a financial planner in particular can bring somebody in from a professional standpoint of view, but also somebody that hasn't got an emotion to the money. I think the problem for money is that obviously we earn it, we work very hard. And also you can have your money habits from your own parents as well and what they did. So when couples get together, they can sometimes be on completely different sides of the fence when it comes, especially spender versus a saver. It's usually a nightmare. But behind that, there's also issues around previous debt, as there being previous credit issues in the past, which is going to stop people getting mortgages. Has somebody got a gambling issue or had one in the past? There's so many things to uncover before getting into financial bed together.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because Frances made that point that actually there's an argument that you kind of outsource the solution to a degree, that sometimes it can be too emotive to deal with in-house.
Yes. Yep.
And if you bring in a Paul Merriman or someone else who'll give you the neutral advice, it's easier for both of you to subscribe to it.
Exactly, exactly. And then from the first part of a financial plan is actually just writing down what's coming into the household and what's going out of the household. So
that's where the budgeting begins with that.
Exactly. And no matter how much money you have here, and it's always going to be the same, it's always going to start with looking at what's coming in, what's going out. And that's where people can really identify. But we find, like, we've over 13,000 clients at Fairstone, and we've done a hell of a lot of financial planning with clients and couples in particular. And I will say that the majority, I'm going to say maybe over 85% of couples that we have, will have a situation where they split the bills into what's called a joint current account. So let's say it's costing 4,000 a month to run the household between mortgage, food, bills, whatever, car repayments, whatever it is. They'd usually say, right, we need 4,000 euro in the current account. And then anything outside that, like a Revolut account, they get discretionary spend where you just spend whatever you want. But that 4,000 euro is, in that example, is, you know, it's so important that that's maintained and it's kept and there's no one messing around with it for their own case or spending on stuff that's not agreed. But a lot of people sometimes come for contentiousness when people say, well, we earn 50-50, it's 2,000 euro in that example. I earn more, you earn less. Some people still want to go down the 50-50 route. Now, I don't agree with that personally, but a lot of people we found do, where they say, no, you only, you know, have to put in, you put in 70%, I only put in 30% because I earn less than you. Mm. And I think that earning peace is sometimes the biggest hurdles for new couples to get over, rather than where the money's being spent. So making sure you have that conversation as early as possible, and making sure you're kind of splitting it based on income.
So at what stage, though, in the relationship does the joint account appear?
The first date. I'm only messing.
Yeah, exactly. Let's set down some ground rules. Yeah, exactly.
Very good. No, look, I think as soon as you start moving into in with each other,
okay.
I think that's when most couples will start to spread.
So there's joint bills,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah, once there's joint bills, whether it's rent, typically it's rent in today's marketplace. People usually rent before they get a mortgage. But definitely before you get into borrowing with each other, you really want to be clear with your finances. So as soon as you decide to move into each other, you need to have a budget for the household.
Mm.
And especially if you have children, once you're moving together, whether you're renting or whether you're actually got a mortgage and you're paying down the mortgage, you really need a financial plan for the children as well, to find out what's going, who's going to spend on what, what's the budget for whether it's toys or clothes or whatever it is, to make sure everything keeps. So once you have children in it, it's really important. And then the next thing, once you get over the budgeting, is there's some things that people need to think about it there. Like if you're cohabitating, so you're not married, you're living with somebody, you might have a tax issue. If you've got a mortgage to that person passes away, you're technically inheriting their half of the house, and you're more likely going to have an inheritance tax liability because that person's a stranger under laws of revenue.
Yeah.
So if you have a 400,000 euro house and your partner, you're not married, they pass away, you technically inherit 200,000 euro. Revenue only give you a capital acquisition threshold of 16,250. So you've got about 180 odd grand at 33%. So you've got
60 odd grand?
Yeah, coming to be paid. Now, what you can do there is you can do a simple thing, what's called life another. You insure your partner for life cover when they pass away. If they pass away, the 60 grand's paid to you as insurable interest, and you can use it to pay the bill. But that's where, when it comes to financial planning for couples, there's so many more things to consider other than the budgeting. The budgeting is the obvious one. But then you get really into tax. If you get married, what happens to the tax treatment? If you're taking maternity leave, paid leave, career breaks, etc.
Well, what about, you know, in the example you give, you've put your 4 grand into your joint account and that covers the bills, the mortgage, possibly groceries or whatever. But, you know, let's say one or the other is doing more of the kind of the day-to-day heavy lifting in the house. So they end up doing nearly all the kind of extra spending, the kind of the run to Eurospar to buy stuff for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, the kids need new shoes or they don't have football boots.
That's
there's a match this
grand.
Weekend.
That should be in the 4,000.
That should be in the 4 grand.
Be in the 4 grand.
So that extra money that's kind of going out to your Revolut account or whatever, that's absolute discretionary.
That's the barbers are going to get whatever, your hair, your makeup done. It's going to the pub for a meal, cinema, whatever you're doing. And
is there a formula that people use to calculate exactly how much they should be putting into those accounts, or allowing for that type of stuff?
Yeah, really good question, actually. The minimum I've seen is in around 100, 150 per week. And that's usually where the discretionary spend starts. But obviously, you have to be able to afford it for each of you to have that. But that's usually where the discretionary spend starts from. I think people, as well as that, you mentioned the likes of the spa run or down to get something quickly. That's usually when we get people, especially for mortgage applications, to print off their statements. They're usually shocked at how many transactions they have from
capital. Oh, yeah.
So it's that when you say we need 4,000 because the rent's 2,000 and the car and the insurance and the house insurance and all the other things add up, it's those incidentals that get forgotten. So when you're doing this, it's really important to actually go over your statements for the last 6 months or 12 months. A bit tedious, but it's really worth to say, actually, it's not 4, it's 5. And that keeps everybody on track. Where if you think it's 4,000 and it runs into be 5,000 and then you're using your discretionary spend to fund it, that's when you start getting, you know, difficult conversations being approached and people, making it.
My partner has bad debt. What should we do?
We're from a bad debt point of view.
I should make clear, I'm not talking about my partner here, in case she's listening.
From
that's
a partner,
text that's come in.
From a bad debt point of view, I'm not sure whether they have a lot of debt or they have missed payments. The first thing you're going to do is tackle it head on, write down all the debt you have, find out where it is, try and renegotiate with the lenders and try and tackle it as soon as possible. In my opinion, I'm going to say, if you're in a relationship, especially if you're living together, and especially if you have kids, it's kind of both your problems, regardless of who started. So you want to double down and try and get out of that bad debt as soon as possible. It doesn't.
What if
really,
it's a negative credit rating or something you have from missed payments?
That's really only going to affect you if you're going for a mortgage or going somewhere. There's one or two lenders that will look at you after 2 years. The main Irish banks are looking at 5 years clear record before they allow you to borrow. It does depend on the circumstance as well. There's always a case to be made. But I think tackle the problem on the head straight away. Find out what the debt is, how much the payments are, can you negotiate, and can you get rid of them ASAP?
Will our tax credits change once we are married?
So, get this question all the time, it's a really good one. If you're both on the same income tax bracket, there's nothing to be done here. So let's say the low rate of income tax up to 42,000 euro, Kieran. So if you're both earning €38,000, you're about in the 20% bracket, there's nothing to be done. If you're both earning €50,000, a higher rate of income, there's nothing to be done. There's only an advantage if somebody's earning over 42 and someone's earning less. You can share the credits there. And there's about $9,000 he picked up at 20%. It's about a 1,900 euro on the difference. So technically speaking, if one's a lower rate of income tax, yes. But also couples need to watch out for this when they get maybe have kids and they go on maternity leave and unpaid maternity leave, because some people can find themselves well under the €42,000 if it's not getting paid by the employer maternity benefits and they're only on the state benefits. They're going to be really down. I need to notify revenue at the beginning of the year if you're going to share the credits in that situation. So again, planning, really important.
Well, somebody's wondering how much of their income should be discretionary. Now, I guess some of that depends on what you've talked about. You've got your joint account, say, which are €2,000 for the mortgage or the rent or whatever happens to be. You've got your bills, you've got the grocery money, you've got the 150 a week to cover the extra discretionary stuff like new football boots. Whatever's left, technically, but maybe they want to put stuff into a pension or
exactly
into savings.
Whatever's left should be the financial goals of the family then, or the couple in that situation. So if they have a mortgage, they might want to overpay the interest on the mortgage, overpay the mortgage, bring the interest down or the term down. If they haven't got a pension, pension planning, again, they might have shorter, like you want to go on a big family holiday, they want to take a break. There's loads of things that people have from a financial planning point of view, but that's where that extra discretionary comes in. Once you've looked after your own 150 each in your account, and the main account, that's when you start putting your money to use to say, great, we've got €200 extra, €500 extra, let's do this with it. And that helps people as well stay on track, and that they have, I suppose, aligned financial goals, which is really important.
And again, not to make it sound like too much, like I'm sending people your direction, but it strikes me as well that, I mean, there's probably value in getting advice in terms of,
100%.
You know, because, you know, like all of this is kind of Dutch to me in terms of whether it's more worth, am I getting more bang for my buck in putting the money into a pension, in putting it into a long-term savings,
yes,
in putting it into paying off the interest on the mortgage.
And nearly every single one of those things you just mentioned has pros and cons to it.
Yeah.
It depends on the couple, it depends on their age, depends on their tax, it depends on their short-term, long-term, medium-term goals. You know, so, you know, we meet couples and they really want to get out and have the property cleared, no mortgage, by the time they get to 60, you want to travel the world. And there's people that have their own business that never want to retire, are always going to have income, so it doesn't really make a difference then for them, like, you know, from pension planner point of view. So it might be more, as well as that, it's important, and I say this to everyone who's been surprised when they come in for financial plan, especially couples, the amount of couples technically over 40 and 50 mostly that are told to spend more money than they are. We do it nearly on a daily basis, because a lot of couples are actually saving too much money for the future. And the amount of people we've told to calm down on the pension contributions, because there's only a certain time you can spend your money from 65 to maybe 80, 85. Then you're kind of, the spending really cuts. People spend less the older they get. So it's about trying to manage where you are now in the pension, what it's going to look like at 60, 65, 70, 80. And then saying, actually, are we overdoing this? Do we need to have an extra holiday with the kids this year and every year? You know, do we pay the mortgage down and retire early? And they're the conversations that come from a financial plan. But you need the plan to be able to have those conversations.
Paul, listen, great advice. Thanks a million for coming into studio. Paul Merriman is the CEO of Fairstone and the founder of Ask Paul.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.